for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken, right here on Pickup Country 104.9 FM, streaming live at listenlikealocal.com or on your mobile device with the free WSKV app for Android and Apple users. Tonight's program is made possible in part by Whitaker Bank, Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Powell County CSEP, Mercy Health, Appalachian Wireless, Citizens Guarantee Bank, Clark Regional Medical Center, Hinkle Contracting, Davis & Davis Funeral Home, Toyota South, Ace Hardware & Feed, People's Exchange Bank, Teddy Flint, Attorney at Law, Whitaker Insurance Group, Protex Security & Fire Systems, and Apex Network Physical Therapy. Let's join Ken and Dave for PCSN Live from the Stanton Studio.
And good evening and welcome everyone to another edition of PCSN Live with Dave and Ken here on WSKV 104.9 FM. Again, this is a slow week for us since the boys and girls are mainly on the road this week. So we got the show tonight and it'll be another week before we're back on the broadcast deal, but the kids are keeping on playing. So we'll start now with Powell County girls basketball and give you a little recap of the last week with them.
Yeah, the girls actually were on the road last night at Perry County Central. Perry County Central, for whatever reason, kind of has the Lady Pirates number, it seems. Always tough to play the Lady Commodores, especially on the road. Unfortunately, the Lady Pirates ended up dropping that one 65-47. They started off really well, did the Lady Pirates. They didn't start off well, but played strong the last three quarters of that game. Again, unfortunately, they ended up losing 65-47, did the Lady Pirates. And it's unfortunate, you know, the same thing happened to the Lady Pirates when they faced off against Owsley County. They ended up losing that game 56-41. And to me, under those circumstances, they started off slow again, made a valiant effort to try and come back and just couldn't get over the hump. So if the Lady Pirates can come out of the gate a little bit better, kind of hang a little bit closer, and then finish strong like they have been here lately, it's that first quarter really where to get into that deficit, they have a lot of heart, a lot of grit, you know, doing what they can to get back. But when you dig that early deficit in that first quarter, sometimes it's just so hard to overcome.
Yeah, I tell you what, I mean, you know, look at this whole program, and I'm talking about boys and girls both. I love the kids that we have, and I'll take our kids over pretty much anybody. Now, when you get into as far as, you know, you're playing Perry County Central on their turf for the last 25 years. Well, maybe not that long. I'm not sure how long Perry's been there. Can't remember, but anyway, as long as it's been Perry County Central, it's the largest team, largest school in the region. They got some great feeder programs coming in. It's very competitive, and you had for years where it was a dominant team in the 14th region. Now, Powell County has never been the dominant team in the 14th region, so when you are playing a Perry County Central, you're playing traditionally one of the best teams in this region. So it doesn't really matter what team you throw at them. Unless you have one of our premium teams that we have once every so many years, that it's going to be an easier battle. Whenever you play those guys, you're in for it because they're deep. And I've said this before, you know, our feeder system for the last few years has really kind of hurt, especially our girls programs. Just not enough ammunition, not enough training there for those younger kids coming up. I'm not blaming the middle school. I'm blaming our programs below that because you got to get started with the fundamentals. Now, that being said, that gives us to where we are now with the girls program. Yes, we've got one of the best players in the region, Makaira Cottle. And we're seeing problems with that now because teams know who she is, and now they're going to kind of play towards her, and they're going to double team, and they're going to box and chase. They're going to do some little things that make it more difficult for her to score. And that being said, because it's more difficult for her to score, somebody else for Powell County has got to step it up. Against Owsley County, I'll go back a week almost. Lori Faulkner had 17, had an awesome game. She freed up, just relaxed, shot the ball really well. We need that on a nightly basis out of Lori. Chloe Grader got to get more shots up. Trinity Romans, you know, got to get a little more intense, a little bit more little bit more fight in her, but again, she's one of those kids we've got to have scoring the basketball. So when you look at the big picture, our kids are behind. And I will say it that way. I'm not saying it's poor coaching at all. I think it's where we are as a school in athletics, and we're a little bit behind everybody else. And we got to catch up, but it's a long process. It's a long and drawn out process. So that's a problem. Now, you know, I think Rob and Roger and Lindsay do a good job with these girls. But we said before the season started, this could be a really rough year. I think now we're starting to see, when we're playing better teams, we're seeing why it could be a rough year.
You're right. I think that collectively, I think the coaches are doing what they can. It'd be nice to see some of the players step up, but let's give credit to the teams they're playing.
Yeah.
You know, they're shutting the Lady Pirates down.
But that's because you got defensive specialists. You got kids that are just have just a good knack of the game, and not like our kids don't. I just think a lot of them are bigger than we are. They're a bit stronger than we are, have more basketball IQ maybe as far as the team goes, and depth. You know, we just struggle on all those. We've only got 13 young ladies that are participating in varsity basketball at Powell County. So that number's low. That's would be our varsity and JV pretty much.
And even with the feeder program, it's unfortunate over the last couple of years, everybody dealt with COVID. You know, you can't even necessarily use that as an excuse. Exactly. Can't even do that. But the last couple of years with our feeder program, though, the girls have not had their own league.
Mm-mm.
And have been playing with the boys-girls co-ed.
And I don't mind the boys and girls co-ed at a certain age group. Now, as you get older, you probably need your own group. But it's probably good for the best of the girls players. But the total, when you get down to having a good team out here, you got to have five guys working your five guys that are your best five. And if they're not, those five aren't pushing those other five, then we're not getting much better. And I think we've got to get to where we're 15, 16 deep. We got five pushing this five. We got five more pushing this five, and they're more competitive. And we can do that. We'll all get better getting pushed by the group behind us. And the most successful teams I know, when Ken had them, we had this group almost with a chip on their shoulder, said, look, I can outplay this group, and then there'd be this group, and I can outplay that group. And there wasn't a day went by in practice with some of those times they're wanting to wear that other group out. And that's what you want to see. And I think that's where we're not there right now in girls basketball. It's the numbers aren't there. You go out and practice hard. You starting five, and your second five just can't push you enough because they don't have enough skill level to be able to get the job done. So it's very, really difficult to practice in a scrimmage set against a group that you're much better than. And that makes it more difficult to go play a game, because now when you go play the game, it's faster, and you're not used to it. So I think there's a lot of issues with having a weaker team. It's because the practice of it is more of a problem.
And you can't necessarily break up your starting five or six,
because
right?
Then you don't have your sync together.
Correct.
Right.
And I agree with you. And going back to, you know, the feeder program, so therefore I think there's even some parents who are not putting their girls in the league who potentially want to play, because I'm not having my daughter go up against boys in a league who are more aggressive, more physical. And obviously you're still going to have some, but I think that might back some parents off, and or even some kids.
I can remember that, but I remember the days of Brandy Lockhart and Charity Atkins, and there were more that played. Now I just remember those two. They would Brittany Matthews. She was one of that group. They always played with the boys, but I mean, to tell you something, they were more physical than the guys. And when those girls got up to the high school level, they could compete with anybody.
I think that's more the exception than the rule.
But we're talking about three,
right?
In that group, so. The difference is we're not having 10 or 12 coming through. We're having three. We need 10 or 12. So we need that other division where we need a girls league. We need it badly. We need girls, you know, softball. We need girls basketball. We need girls. Even if we're going to continue to play volleyball, which we are, have a elementary volleyball if you can. Have them feed our system somehow where you're getting at least some of the basics of even volleyball or soccer. We know what's out there. We got to put more time and effort, and actually gotta put more dollars behind it.
Developing skills. Again, that's the bottom line, and you have to start early, and we've talked about this over time. Sometimes the form, shooting form, is not where it needs to be.
Nope.
Sometimes the footwork is not where it needs to be, and sometimes just that sport IQ, pick a sport, that IQ is not where it needs to be. I don't think we teach kids at a young age why we're doing certain things that we do, and this is why whether you're dribbling, passing, whatever that, you know, you're working on, I don't think they necessarily understand here. This is why I want you to stand over here and you're going to move this way because this is what's going to happen and why I need you to do that. I don't think we break the game down like that with kids. And to me, that's huge and that's instrumental for them to fully understand all of that.
We teach basics without the why.
Agreed. Why am I doing this?
Yes.
And I think that, again, now when you're out on the court, you know what to do because you've been taught, you've seen it, and or you're even watching college or professional sports, and now you have an understanding, oh, that's why they cut that way, or that's why they blocked out, whatever.
Here's me in algebra. I'll make this analogy real quick. I was really good at basic arithmetic, adding, subtracting, multiplying, dividing. Just give me those numbers, I'll figure it out. When I got into algebra, I had to add two letters and two unknowns. And in my head, I never could get past the point. You can't add two letters together. But nobody ever explained to me the why it was like that. And I think if I'd have got that explanation early on in algebra, it'd have been easy. But I didn't. Therefore, I made it so hard on myself. I'm thinking, okay, I'm still telling you, you cannot add an A and a B and get a number. It just can't happen. You know, had you just told me, look, these are two variables. If you put them together, what does it make? I can figure that out.
Right.
Just
you have more of an understanding.
Like 5-6 words. That's all you'd have to say. I'm somebody messed up on me, but not give me those 5 or 6 words. And it can be that simple. I remember a conversation I had with David Goodwin, I mentioned this before. And I can't remember which one of his sons. It was either Will or John. That was playing basketball here in our rec league, and I was over the rec league that year, and I was doing the referee, and one of them thought he had somebody blocked out, and the other kid actually just reached over top of him and got the ball. Well, that's not a foul. Yes, his hands were over top of you, but he didn't make contact to get the ball. And I tried to explain it to him. I said, go home and ask your dad what blocking out means and if that should have been a foul. So he did. Dave called me later. He said, thank you. He understands it because it was coming from me. It wasn't coming from somebody different. And once I had explained it to him that way, I think it kind of, the live up went, well, okay, I get it. And after Dad got to explain after that, then they got it. But just a little thing, we say over the back, well, just because somebody reaches over, we see the fans. Fans are, and I'm not saying they don't know anything, but fans think because you reached over somebody, it's a foul. It's not a foul. If you're blocking them out and pushing them back, they can't do that.
Right.
It's the little things. You just got to, I don't know, teach it differently.
Put things into
things
perspective.
Yes. I mean, and it's, like I said, you can make a lesson out of this. And I know the kids are maybe too young to understand the big picture. Break it down into baby steps.
But if we methodically teach, they're going to be able to put it all together.
And understand it.
Both of my kids, and I've even said this before, you know, my son-in-law appreciates the fact that my daughter knows sports. Pick any sport, she knows. She knows why when a guard is pulling to make a block in football, good job for the, you know, the right guard. Because she saw that, how he pulled to make that block to allow the running back to get through there or blocking out whatever. I taught my children the games, the insides and outs. Now they're better fans because they get it.
They understand the game.
They understand the game.
But now,
right?
Here's the problem now is that, and I'll get into this. This is not just a girls' conversation. This is boys. This is everybody. Watching a game is done differently now than what it was used to be. We didn't have a phone in our hands. to distract from what the game was, what's going on in the game. And I'm talking about when we grew up. Now I still do the same thing. I still got a phone, man. When I'm watching the game, we're trying to watch it, and you can't see all the little things. But I know when I was growing up as a young person, even when I was 8, 9, 10, I would try to break everything down as the game went. I coached along with the coaches, and I'm trying to learn as I'm coaching and what I would do next. And I wasn't a great athlete, but I think that I always thought the game through, and I don't know why they can't do it now. We've got much better ways to watch a game. They're breaking this down every bit of the way for them, and it should be so much easier for the kids to pick up, but it's not, because I think they got distractions and they can't even watch the game and learn. I wish kids would just sit and watch a game and try to understand it and maybe ask questions why they do this. Ask the parents. You got parents that would know these answers sometimes, and they give you an answer, and there are things you can learn at home. Now, you know, telling your kid that your coach is terrible, that's not a way to teach them anything. Explain the game to them, and maybe make it easier on the coach.
Correct. I would agree with that. You know, even using geometry as an example, if you're teaching geometry, why are we not teaching, okay, we're going to build a house or a building, and here's your angles, and here's why it's this way, and all. Again, mm-hmm. Put it into practical terms and break down the games on a simple basis to where the kids understand. That's why I'm going from, you know, one baseline to the opposite corner, because now the ball's swinging around this way, and see, by the time you get over there, the ball's going to come your way, get ready for your shot. Oh, okay, I get it, because now I can follow the ball, and I realize why I'm cutting along the baseline. Mm-hmm. Again, whatever the scenario might be, I think if we teach the game a little bit better, work on fundamentals, we have to improve the feeder program, or in the big picture, in my opinion, as we've kind of seen, we're not where we should be compared to other teams, whether it's in our region or outside of the region when we're playing these other teams.
And I do know this, too.
No slap against any of the coaches, for the record.
No, I'm not knocking any of our coaches.
Yeah, me either.
You know, I've told people before, you know, I will never think that I'm a terrible coach. Maybe I am, but I don't think I am, just because you only win 4 or 5 games in a season. Now, that's bad. It's a bad reflection of what we do. But when I look at the total picture, I'm thinking we're not up to par where we need to be. And it can be only a couple positions and to makes or breaks you in our sports. And, you know, the way I look at it is the system is a little broken. And I know when we were going through COVID, and it's not an excuse, but I will say this. When we shut down, we shut down. When others shut down, they didn't.
True.
So, regardless of making excuse or not with COVID, that was a reality for Powell County, because when we shut down, we did it the right way, in my opinion, and we shut down. Now others continued on and kept playing and kept doing, and even when they weren't probably supposed to. But what happened to their programs? They haven't shut down. They haven't hit the wall yet. They haven't got the low numbers. They haven't got to where they missed out a season, because they actually stayed at it and stayed in the gym and stayed working, and regardless of what people told you to do, that's what a lot of people did. And in that avenue, we got a little behind. And whether or not we catch up or not is based on what we're willing to do to work it out and fix it. And it has to be done internally. It has to be done right here in the county and with our small coaching staff and your school system. I think, you know, you put all the teams in the school system and maybe make it better. And don't have all, you know, I know baseball and softball can do their summer thing, but wouldn't it be nice to have like a baseball little league in the fall, or you know, a volleyball or soccer leagues in the spring, and do some things with the young kids and let them get out there and play. I mean, just, but support it through the schools. Like, you know, this team's playing this team, and go at it that way. Maybe try and see if it works.
Well,
I don't know.
At one point, last year, we'd gone to a horse show, and within that arena, just a covered arena, they actually had Little League baseball playing because it was indoors and it was on dirt. So therefore, you know, they just had basically just fencing up in order to block. But they were playing year-round because they had that facility available to them.
And where's that group going to be in 5, 6, 7 years?
Right. We don't necessarily have a facility like that for baseball, softball, in order to be able to play year-round.
But they do have them in Lexington. They have in Ashland. They have it in maybe in Richmond. They have facilities around. They're just not here.
Correct. Well, I mean, even Lee, for that matter, you know, over the last 5 years, you know, they built the little complex there where they have an indoor facility where they're playing ball and things like that year-round. And I'm not saying we don't have facilities like that, but collectively as a community, we're not on the same page.
No.
We're not on the same page, and everybody's kind of doing their own thing, and it's unfortunate. Again, we are Pirate fans, want the best for our kids in the long run, you know, currently and in the long run, but we're going to have to continue to do a better job. And again, these players out on the court, out on the field, they're doing what they, you know, they're trying.
Working hard. They're trying.
They are trying, and they are working hard. It's unfortunate that we're running against better talent overall, you know, whether it's 5-on-5, 11-on-11, consistently, and we can't seem to get over that hump. And it's a matter of time. If we really want it, the younger group's going to have to continue to work hard, elementary, middle, high school, to break out of that.
Communication is a big part of it. But we're behind on a break. We didn't cover all the girls. We'll go back to the girls in a minute. I got off on a little tangent. It's my fault. I'll take the blame. Take a break here for BCSN Live. Dave and Ken.
Protect Security and Fire Systems. Your security is our business. Visit the Fowl County Sports Network page at WSKVFM.com.
With Whitaker Bank's new home equity line of credit, qualified applicants can borrow up to 90% of their home's value with no closing cost. With Whitaker Bank's home equity line of credit, you only pay back 1% of your balance monthly, and you process your withdrawals with Whitaker Electronic Banking. Stop by Whitaker Bank and see how our new home equity line of credit can help you. Whitaker Bank proudly supports your Powell County Pirates. Whitaker Bank is uniquely Kentucky, member FDIC, and an equal housing lender.
Count on Clark Regional Medical Center for quality health care close to home. It's why we're here, providing compassionate, personalized care whenever you may need it, so you, your family, and our community can all thrive. Because no matter where you are in life, nothing is more important than your health. Clark Regional Medical Center, from the routine to the unforeseen. Count on us. Learn more at clarkregional.org.
We are growing and so are our CD rates. I'm James Clark, Market President for CG Bank here in Stanton, Kentucky. CG Bank's new 8-month certificate of deposit will earn you 4.28% annual percentage yield compounded at maturity. Come visit our newly expanded location today at 488 South Main Street in Stanton to take advantage of this limited time CD special. We're not here building business, but building relationships. That's community banking. That's my bank.
Only a $500 minimum balance required to open and maintain APY. Penalty for early withdrawal. Annual percentage yield as of December 29th, 2022. And fees and penalties may reduce earnings. CG Bank is a member FDIC and equal housing lender.
Toyota South in Richmond is moving forward. Family owned and operated since 1915. Meet General Manager Charlie Johnson.
I was raised right here in Powell County by my grandparents. They taught me to be honest and treat others with courtesy and respect. And that's what you can expect from me. I would like to personally invite you to take the short drive to Toyota South in Richmond. Whether you're looking for a new or used vehicle, as General Manager at Toyota South, I will make your short drive well worth your time. Come see me soon at Toyota South in Richmond.
Toyota South in Richmond. Online at toyotasouth.com or call their friendly staff at 877-605-4326.
New driveway, parking lot, or large aggregate need? Hinkle Contracting Company specializes in all things crushed aggregate. They provide expert delivery and more, depending on size of application. Call Natural Bridge Stone today at 606-663-2815 or Tipton Ridge Quarry at 606-723-4881 or find out more information at hinklecontracting.com. For all of your asphalt and aggregate needs, think Hinkle Contracting Company.
Trust the emergency department at Mercy Health, Markham and Wallace Hospital when an emergency strikes. We offer full-service emergency care 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We have X-ray, CT, and lab services on site for assessing, diagnosing, and treating patients quickly. The emergency department is a level 4 trauma center where you can expect expert care, quicker treatment, and improved outcomes. You can feel safe to come to the hospital campus. Following CDC guidelines, our providers and care teams are doing everything possible to ensure your safety and well-being. Choose the emergency department at Mercy Health, Markham and Wallace Hospital in Irvine.
Welcome back to BCSN Live. Sorry, we got off on a tangent.
Nah, we're both
not Ken's fault. He just kind of went with me. But we talked about one game with the girls. That was Perry Central. What did we not talk about?
So we talked about the Owsley County game where they lost by 5 again, just coming out of the gates.
But that was a great second half.
100%.
Great second half by the girls.
Had there been a little bit more time, we had two possessions where we came up empty, and that was unfortunate.
At the end.
But I think, you know, maybe a little bit more time if we could have played defense and or, you know, had better looks. But, again, the effort, the fact that they were down 14-18, I can't remember what the margin was, but all of a sudden you come back.
18 was probably the largest lead, and they were down, I think 14 and a half time.
Yeah, and all of a sudden, but to be able to come back in the second half when it looked bleak, that to me shows a lot about this Lady Pirate team.
Well, they got hot in the second half when Owsley cooled off. And we made some things happen. If we get the same effort for four quarters, we win that game. Now, I said this up there on the radio. Owsley had a really terrible shooting night in the first half. And we were only down whatever it was. And to me, if they came, we went to the locker room on what we were fortunate to still be in that game. But Owsley had a terrible first half. And since we caught up, we had a much better second half than they did. Our second half was the best of anybody's half anywhere. We played a better second half than they did the first. Our second was better than anybody else's way they played that game. If we can play four quarters like we played the second half, we can win some games. Owsley County is a good team, but it goes to show you, Owsley's probably a 20-point favorite going in. They wound up winning by single digits, and we had a chance to win that one. Teams can and will have off nights. That's when you have to pounce.
We just can't come out slow. We have to keep it close in that first quarter, even into halftime. And I think at that point, I believe And I believe we are a better second half team. But when you dig that hole in that first half, it's so tough. And again, they have a lot of fight and everything in them. Even going back to the Greenup County game, which would have been prior to that, part of the 2A tournament, they ended up losing 67-46. Again, dug that early hole, fought back and just couldn't quite get over the hump again. But
would just seem like every shot Greenup took, they made in the first half.
Yes.
I mean, they were just making everything.
Yeah, and
I think it's kind of what happened with the Perry County game. I think they were making everything early, and we were not making anything. And when you do that, the scores get out of control pretty quickly.
Now, obviously, you have to recognize that going forward and play tougher defense, right? You got to be able to cover your three-point shooters. You know, you got to be able to get the rebound, get the ball out. And even going back to the Owsley County game, Mackay Mercottle, a little bit too strong on some of her shots that she normally makes. She did have a bad first half. You know, she hung in there, and I think she finished with 18 or 19 mm-hmm. points. But still had that rough first half. She was trying almost maybe too hard and expecting contact, and the ball was just going off the backboard and the rim a little bit too strong, but she settled in.
I'm not real sure these kids do what I always say, and even the coaches maybe. I don't know if they even know what I'm talking about. You have to check who's calling your game and know how they call. Because if you know who you have and how they call, that should kind of tell you how you need to play. Driving to try to draw a foul we got some guys that just don't call all of anything. And when that happens, you're not getting any calls. So you got to take better shots. When you've got people calling that will call anything, those are the times you can get away with those shots and get fouled and go to the line. But you kind of got to scout and know your officials and who you have on which game and know how they call it to play. And you hate to say that, but that is kind of
they have tendencies,
right? Yes, just like the players have tendencies. We get, You know, when we get the same officials on games, the officials know our tendencies, which is a weakness, right? We should know theirs, and we should know their weaknesses or strengths. And you kind of play to that. I know it's kind of a different scouting report, but it's part of the game.
I like when the officials allow, especially in the first half, more physicality.
Like the Owls, the kind of game.
Yes. Allow them to play. Yeah. Allow them to kind of bang around a little bit. Yeah, there might be some contact, but they did not want, as the officials, did not want to interfere, right? Y'all play the game. We're going to sit back. You know,
we'll call them major stuff.
Yes, but other than that, we're going to let you play as opposed to blowing the whistle, and there's no ebb and flow to the game. And then the kids at that point, they become a little bit, what am I looking to say in a sense? They allow that, though, to dictate them, and as opposed to being aggressive offensively or defensively, you're just like, oh, I'm not going to do that because I might pick up a foul.
Yeah.
Or as opposed to they're letting you play, and you're just like, oh, they're letting us play like out on the playground. Let's go for it, right? It's a little bit a different mindset, a different style of play.
It is. And, you know, going forward, you know, the girls have got to they got to come out of the gate better, like you were talking about. They got to come out of games in the first quarter and try to be up 4 or 5. And if they can start doing that against some of these teams that they're playing, it'll behoove them in the fourth quarter, because these kids are going, we're starting to stretch our bench out. I think Rob's done a good job of getting some kids ready to get in there. Emily Reed has done a fantastic job when she gets a chance to play. Jessely Sanders has shown us some good things. And these kids are hustling. I watched, Carly Rogers, as a starter. I watched her. I saw something in her in the last couple games that, man, she's talking on the floor. She's directing traffic. She's telling you where to go, telling you what screen's coming. That's big. You got to have somebody call out what's going on. And I noticed that. And that's a big deal. Because haven't seen that at all the time. But we had a little bit different look too, because we were closer to the floor. When we're up in the booth far away, sometimes we just don't see those things. But
right.
When we're closer, we can pick up on some of the small things that are going on that are good. And there's some good things going on, and we just got to be consistent.
Listen, the Lady Pirates are 7-8 on the season in district play. They are 2-1, only trailing Owsley County, who's 3-0 on the season, and then you have Estill County at 1-2, Lee County 0-3. The Lady Pirates will be on the road Friday night.
This game counts.
This game counts. A boys-girls doubleheader.
Yeah. Or these games count. I should say that, right?
At Estill County, so it's going to be a big matchup, as the Lady Pirates ended up defeating Estill County in the 2A, 61-58. It was a very close game. The Lady Pirates had a nice lead, and then Estill kind of came back made it close.
We had to come back the third time to be able to take that one.
And right.
I'm telling you, Makara had 44 in the first outing. We'll see if they got something in store for in the second outing. And this is not necessarily a bigger game, but it is. It's more about district seeding now. So what was a good game before, it's going to be a really good game on Friday night. I don't know who plays first or second over there on Friday, but that should be a good contest, that girls' game.
The boys actually will be playing first.
Okay, so when we get around to talking about them, we'll figure it out. So,
and then next Wednesday, the girls have Harrison County at home. We'll have that game as well. We'll go on the air around 7 o'clock.
Yeah, we'll have our PCSN show here at 6. We'll still have the show at 6, and then we'll do the game right after that with Harrison County in the game next Wednesday night with the girls. So, go follow Lady Pirates. Go give them some support at Estill County. That game will be on the Estill County Sports Network right here on WSKV. So you can still listen to it on 104.9. You can stream it on the NFHS app, and you can also probably listen to it on the Facebook audio. Are they doing that? No, probably not.
No, and it would just be
just NFHS and radio.
Yes.
Yeah. So NFHS and radio, all the different ways you can listen to WSKV. So
Friday night.
Tune in Friday to Danny and William as they bring you Powell County and Estill County, both games on Friday. So we'll take another break here on PCSN. Back in a moment.
When you need insurance, contact Whitaker Insurance Group in Stanton, proud sponsors of the live broadcast of your Powell County Pirates on Pickup Country 104.9 FM.
Are you tired of the same old cell phone? Want a new phone, but really don't want to pay the hundreds of dollars up front for it? Appalachian Wireless has a deal for you. Get the phone you actually want instead of settling for a cheaper phone with the Appalachian Advantage Plan. Instead of paying $600 or more for the best phone, simply pay the taxes up front and then a few bucks a month more on your monthly bill. Stop by your local Appalachian Wireless store or dealer today for more information. It's the better, simpler way to pay. And it's called the Appalachian Advantage because we are you. We are Appalachian Wireless.
Welcome back to PCS, and that was a quick commercial break.
It was a quick commercial break.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting it to be that quick, but we're back. And now it's time to flip the switch to boys basketball, as best we know. And about three games played between this week and last, and a game tonight for the boys.
So they started off the new year at Estill County for the 2A sectional tournament. The Pirates ended up losing that game to the Engineers 68-51. That was played at Estill County. That was back on January 2nd. Then the Pirates followed that up with a win at Owsley County 85-61. And then they were at Morgan County on Monday night and ended up losing 75-59. So the Estill County game in the 2A just didn't quite have it. You know, Estill County basically probably had a complete game in many respects. And then when you look at the Owsley County game, Pirates bounced back really well, won by 24 points. To me, that game and the Lee County game for the Pirates, probably two of their best games that I've seen them play almost from start to finish. Made a lot of shots, very unselfish play, rebounded. You know, made their threes, got the rebounds, putbacks, etc. Did a nice job, and then unfortunately they faced off against Morgan County, ended up getting beat there. But they had actually lost twice to Morgan County, both times by 14 points.
And let's go this direction with the boys real quick.
17-14, excuse me.
Morgan County is not your typical Morgan County. They're really good this year, so we'll go ahead and throw that out there real quick. Owsley County is down. Now, they're going to be pretty good, but we're talking about probably 2 years. So they'll probably take a beating this year. They'll get a little bit better next year. They may give you a better game, but you probably still beat them. But that next year, that team's going to be pretty good at Owsley County. For Estill County, we've seen them play really well. We saw them, we broadcast the game with, who would they put?
Greenup.
Yeah, it was Greenup. With Greenup, but they looked like world beaters for a while. And since then, they've gone on a four-game losing streak. And I don't know what happened to the Engineers. Seemed to have everybody playing. They've played some good competition. So I'm not going to say they haven't played anybody. They have. They've played some pretty good teams. You know, Madison Southern's pretty good. The team that was in Mason. Mason County's good. I don't know who else was in that mix that beat them, but you know, when you look at it in the big picture, yeah, they lost four in a row, but they played some good competition. Pal Estill again on Friday is a time for the Pirates to go into that game, and it's almost a little trap game because here is Estill on an 0-4 skid.
They lost to Lee.
Pal's hit and miss. Yeah, they lost to Lee on the last second shot. That's right. When we can go over there, and if we can play like we played against Owsley and Lee. Now, we played Lee County. They were down 2.5 starters. And I'm not knocking our kids. We both would say best we've seen those kids play in a couple years. The Owsley County game was almost as good as the Lee County game. I don't think it was to that level, but it was close. And we've seen people from Owsley County that has told us, man, you all look pretty good. And y'all look that way against Lee. Yeah, we did. But that's it. Or at least that's what we have seen. I don't know what other games we've won that we played well that we have looked that good. The other games that we've seen, we haven't looked that good. So we've got to put some things together. Our kids have got a lot to prove, not only to themselves, but to the community about, you know, and to me. Me and you disagree a little bit what we see in these boys' team. Ken's a little bit more positive than I am. I like the boys team. I just don't think they're where they need to be. You think they're pretty good, just not hitting their
mark. They've not been able to put it all together, in my opinion. So, I think they have good players, a good core. I just don't think they've been able to put it all together for four quarters.
I agree we have good players, and I agree we have good core. I just don't think that we are upper shelf. I don't think we're the top of the line team right now. I think we're a team that can beat teams who are not really good. And that's who we've beaten so far. Until we beat someone that we're not supposed to beat, like in Estill County, then they'll have to then have a believer in me. And it's not just coaching. Alan and I talk, I guess, after every game. I respect our coaches, Rob, Alan, the boys' coaches. And when I talk to some of the boys' coaches, the assistants, I'll tell them what I think. Tell them what they need to do better. And we need to help the program be better. What I don't talk to a lot, and I do talk to some parents, but not a lot. We have to have this team, to me, is not clicking on all cylinders. I'm going to go ahead and call them out if you don't care. We've got a lot of, I don't know, not a maybe dislike or not no trust, whatever it is. We got a lot of parents not happy with the coaching staff. But by you not being happy with the coaching staff, doesn't make it easier on your kid because he doesn't trust the coaching staff. Even if they're the best coaches in the world, that lack of trust diminishes what they could do. So until we get everybody kind of supporting each other, the parents, the coaches, the team, we're not going to get to where you want us to be. And I'm talking to Ken right now. That's how this team gets to where Ken wants them to be. Is because all of you guys out there have got to get along better and support and respect what the coaches are trying to do. Let the coaches coach, let the parents enjoy, and let the kids play. And if we can do that, this team can do better.
And we can all agree to disagree how coaches coach, right? Decisions that they make, substitutions, et cetera. We can all do that. David and I probably do it just about more than anybody other than maybe the parents, you know, whose kids –
yeah.
You know, whatever the circumstance might be with them. You know, ultimately, we all want the best. You hope for the best. It still goes back to the players have to play the game on the floor. You've been doing this long enough to where you should know, right, how to set a screen, you know, how to rebound, how to block out, how to make your free throws, how to make your shots. And again, I get you're not going to shoot 100% day in and day out. But if you do the little things, to me, it's the little things that we don't do consistently like we see in the Lee and Owsley game, that if we did all of those little things that we did in those games, we have the potential, in my opinion, to beat those upper echelon teams. But until you do that from tip to the final horn, it's not going to happen. And that's the frustrating part, because when you see the Lee and Owsley games, and I get that we're potentially better than the Lee and Owsley teams, but when you put forth that kind of effort and you do that, good things will happen to you, and you have to be able to do all of those little things in order to get over the hump. That's how,
for 32 minutes,
correct, but that's that extra effort that goes from being ordinary to extraordinary. Mm-hmm. Those extra little things that you do to make that difference.
Yeah, if we don't get out of our own way,
and that's a problem,
we won't win over 10 games.
Yeah, that's this a problem. Boys team.
And I'm not calling anybody out, I'm just telling you what I see. And I know the coaching staff doesn't have the full support of the parents. I know there's some, and when the parents say this stuff all the time in front of the kids, it doesn't matter what you do good, because every time the kid hears it at home, it has more weight than when you hear it out in town. And when that starts happening, you have friction. And then when you have the friction, it causes problems in the locker room. And then there's the distrust on the floor. And the communication efforts, then you got a problem. So, I guess, and I don't know how you can't make everybody happy, and that's not going to happen. But if we could just maybe support better than what we're doing, that's all I would ask
but,
for.
But can't you, as a parent, and I tried to do this with my kids, as a parent, can't you just pull them to the side and be like, look, okay, if you would have done this, if you'd have blocked out here, if you...
No.
Meaning, put the onus back on the kid.
I do think that happens. I'm not... I think that happens, but then the next line is, but your coach is stupid. Why isn't he teaching you this? Well, I think they are.
But you're undermining, as opposed to helping the collective, you're undermining and causing...
These coaches are with these kids 2 hours a day during the practice time. On a road trip, they're with them, you know, 4, 5, 6 hours. You can have discussions on the buses. If we can't get this fixed, it's not going to get better. And you could bring in any coach you want to. And the way I've seen... And this has been a problem for the last, long as I can remember. You could get a great coach here. Everybody's not going to like them because everybody's kids don't get the same playing time they would like for them to see. So when that happens, then this coach is out because the powers that be try to run them out of here because maybe their child didn't play as much. That's typically what happens with coaching in basketball in Powell County. I think it's terrible. I think Allen is a local kid. He grew up here. He played here. He wants the best for Powell County. Now, he's a second-year head coach at the high school level. He's been a head coach at the middle school, and that is what it is. He's a second-year head coach at the high school level. And until you give that young man an opportunity to do the best that he can, then you're not giving him an opportunity at all. And he's been questioned since day one. And I'll say this about Allen. He's going to do what he thinks is best if we can allow him to try to get there. And if we're not going to allow him to, and I told him that before he took the job, you're going to have people that were your friends that are going to be your enemies if you take a high school head coach of a basketball team. And it's going to happen quick. And then you're going to, I don't know if you'll regret it or not, but that's what happens when local people get jobs. And it's hard to be a local person coaching because you will probably lose friends. And I've lost friends. And you hate to see a coach lose friends because of it. And people don't respect what you may know or don't know. But I don't think people always understand what goes on in practice. I don't think they know what always goes on. What's the plan? Everybody's not involved in the plan. You know, the coaches know, the assistants probably know. But you got to give people a chance. And until you're all willing to do that, then we're going to struggle.
Well, think about this too, okay? Just because I'm a shooter, okay,
doesn't mean
I play defense, but doesn't mean I play good defense.
No.
So therefore, I might be a liability defensively. That guess what? The offense that I may or may not produce offsets itself.
Listen, we used to do something I loved. I've told the coaches about it before. When I was on Coach Glenn Conyers' staff, and a lot of people questioned Glenn. But he did some things that I really liked, and it was about stats. And I'm a stat person. He graded everybody. It wasn't how many points you scored. It was points plus assists plus charges taken plus rebounds minus misses minus deflections or minus losses minus what you score. You grade out a game. And if you grade out at a 7 and you scored 25 points, and you're going to grade it out at a 7, what's that tell you?
You're lacking in some other
area. You're lacking in some other areas. Yeah. You're turning the ball over too many times. You're not getting enough rebounds. You're doing something that's not the best. A lot of times we talk about the triple-double. They got this, this, and this. I mean, did they have any turnovers? Did they have any minuses? Or the minuses figure in? It was a really nice little stat program when you got down. Somebody may have a game where they scored no points but score 12. And this other kid scored 25, and he only is 7. Without the 12 kid, you probably lose.
True.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So little things that you do in a game, you know, taking the charges, which I love to watch a kid take a charge, even getting into deflection, getting into passing lanes, knocking some balls down, making them go somewhere different when we pick it up. Those are little things that don't get valued. And, you know, when coaches put those things in to be valued, then guess what? It looks better on your grades on how you grade out. But you know, people say, I want my kid to get 20. Well, 20 what? 20 turnovers? You know,
right.
You're saying 20 points. You don't even worry about the rebounds. These kids, I love Oscar Shebway because he can get 18, 19 rebounds in a game and he is working his butt off. Normally. Now the last couple games, it's been a little off, but normally that's Oscar. He's been my favorite college players to watch up until the last few games. But whatever else is going on behind that team, I don't know what it is, but they're not playing well. But this is the same thing that goes on right here. You got kids working their butts off, and if they're going to work hard, guess what? Put them in there. They might not score 10. They might not score 5. But if they're going to be willing to work, go after loose balls, take charges, get deflections, and play defense, they're worth 20.
Correct. Because, again, it's those little extra efforts that they're actually giving. They're a asset as opposed to a liability because of what they bring to the table. And ultimately it goes back to, okay, if all of a sudden if I want my child to be that scorer, is it about my child or is it collectively about the team?
It's supposed to be about the team on your chest.
And it should be the team, right? And at that point, okay, collectively, like you said, whether I get 5 points or 500 points.
Shouldn't matter.
It shouldn't matter. If I'm open and I'm making them, right, different story.
Give them the ball.
Correct, yes. But as long as you're taking smart shots,
well,
right?
Well, if someone's hot, give them the ball quick. While they're hot, use them while they're hot. When they cool off, maybe you stop giving it to them.
Well, at that point, let's take them out, put somebody else in. Give them a break, and let's inject them back in and see if they can't find that again. But, it's unfortunate that the Pirates, you know, are sitting there on the season with their record of, well, I just had it. And
7-8,
kinda,
no.
No, the, well.
Boys was not that good.
Pirates are 5-9 on the season is where they are, and they're 2-1 in district play. When you look at the top, it's Estill County, 8-7 overall, 2-1 in district play. Lee County, 8-8, 2-1 in district play. Again, Powell County, 5-9, 2-1 in district play. And
it's really 2-0.
County,
really, Powell County is in the
1-1. Sorry, 1-1.
Really, Powell's in the lead at 2-0. Right? Because Estill's game was
correct. Estill's 1-1, and we are 1-1. I'm glad you said that. I forgot about the 2A part.
We beat Lee. We beat Owsley. Next on the list is Estill. If we can beat Estill on Thursday, we control the second half of the season.
Yes.
By being the district leader in the season.
And all those games are at home.
Yeah, and we've won 5. So guess what? Powell County's still in first place right now in the district. If they can pick up a win on Friday, they're in a good spot.
A really good spot, yes.
So I'll take the 5-9, 5-10, whatever it is.
5-9, yep.
Get us that number one seed. Get us to the district championship game, an opportunity to play. And that gets us into a regional game, an opportunity to play. Then if you're 5-10, If you're 10-15, it doesn't matter because you're still going to where you want to go. My thing is get this team ready to go by tournament time. If you're in a good position, district seating, by tournament time, you got a better chance to get to where you want to go. So we're set up to be in a good place. So all you naysayers, understand we're in a good place district-wise. Now we got to go take care of business on Friday, which Estill County wants to stop. And then we got to go play these games at home next, all three of them.
Yes, all three district games, other than Friday nights,
will be
back here at home, yes.
So Powell County is in a pretty good spot for the district, at least to pick up a top two seed. And that's pretty big. I think where the boys are is in a good spot. Now, the girls, it's a little bit different, I think, because they're down, they're 1-1, I think, in district play. The Estill County for them makes a difference. Owsley County is going to be the favorite. Now, you don't want to be the 4.
No, you don't.
So what it looks like for the girls, it looks like Powell Estill will be playing for about 4 times this year.
The way it looks, I would, yes, unless somebody knocks off Owsley County, you know, somehow knocks them down.
Well,
and
that will have to be a Powell Estill upset. And,
right.
You know, that's just, if not, it's going to be Powell Estill again.
It's possible.
So, you know, a lot of fun.
So the boys will be... Well, actually, they're at Elliott County tonight. Mm-hmm. Now, to me, they should pick up a win. Elliott 2-10. They're down. They lost.
But it's at Elliott.
It is at Elliott. To me, they should win that game. Friday night at Estill County. Again, the boys play first at 6:00, and then next Tuesday, the boys are away at Wolf County. They ended up losing to Wolf 66-47 here at home, and then again, my phone keeps messing up here.
I think it's the
and then they'll be
Prestonsburg
Thursday night 7:30 varsity start, and then on Saturday excuse me, the 21st Williamstown. Yes, 3:30 game.
See, I did all these stats them up on my when I worked today. I did all these.
You're already ahead of the game.
I'm already
you?
Thinking about who we got coming
right.
up.
Yep.
I actually did Paris. Wrote down Paris and Prestonsburg next Thursday, so I messed up my things a little bit. But anyway.
So anyway, Pirates on the road Friday night at Estill.
Take a quick break. Come back and talk about some other sports. Their national championship team and a team that's not looking very good right now. Here on PCSN Live.
We value our customers at People's Exchange Bank, which is why we serve you with a staff of experts that are happy to meet your lending needs. We offer a variety of personal, small business, agriculture, and commercial loans, along with competitive rates and quick decisions. Your bank shouldn't compromise on your imagination, drive, and growth, so let us help move you forward with a loan from People's Exchange Bank. Get started and get going. Visit us online at www.pebank.com or stop by a local branch to find the loan that fits you best. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Ace Hardware, East College Avenue, Stanton, want to wish the best for your Powell County Pirates at their sporting events, in their academics, at home, or wherever life takes them. Next time you need an item for your lawn or garden, building needs, small or large project, plumbing, electrical, tools, including Craftsman, DeWalt, Husqvarna, and so much more, remember your Ace Hardware right here in Stanton, East College Avenue, Ace, the helpful place.
At Wells Funeral Home, we have years of experience caring for families from all walks of life. Each family comes to us because they know we are leaders in our profession, dedicated to excellence in service, and have the highest integrity. Life is full of opportunities to show someone we love them. One such opportunity is the funeral or memorial service. Such a loving event celebrates the choices they made, the relationship you shared, and honors the memory of your loved one. Together, we will create a fitting and memorable event. Contact us today to discuss the possibilities. Call 606-663-9480 or visit us at 777 West College Avenue in Stanton.
And welcome back here to PCSN Live. Real quick, let's talk about the national championship game on Monday. It was Georgia versus TCU, which TCU was the team that everybody said shouldn't be there or whatever. And really, they deserved to be there.
They did.
They poured it to Michigan.
Yeah.
Well, really, Michigan kind of beat themselves. But TCU played their hearts out against Michigan. And I'm thinking we'll root for that team against the national championship game. And we didn't have a game. It was just Georgia and Georgia and Georgia
and
Georgia.
Unfortunate to be at that end of the year playing for the national championship, and TCU just couldn't quite put it together. I was hoping they were going to win.
Georgia was just that good.
That good.
They yep. really were. So give credit to Georgia and congratulations to the Bulldogs for their second straight national championship team under a quarterback that couldn't even make your roster.
Yeah.
You know, not even offering him a scholarship, just walk on, and then he goes somewhere else, comes back to you, and two straight national championships. Now, where does that kid stock go in the NFL draft, you wonder?
It's going to be high.
You think?
Yeah, I'm not
sure. I mean, this kid's not even recruited out of high school, really.
I know, but I think what he's done over the last couple of years, though, he's not even lost as a starter.
I'm not arguing that. I would take him tomorrow, since Tua doesn't get to play for Miami on Sunday. I would take Stetson Bennett over what we have.
Well, now the Bears have the number one pick.
Well, that ain't
they have him. They have Justin Fields.
No, they're not going quarterback.
Because he's only in his second year, maybe, I think.
They're probably going to go offensive line, defensive.
Correct. So they're not looking for a quarterback. And I think beyond that, the number one pick,
I guess the kid out of what?
USC.
USC, right?
Won the Heisman.
Won the Heisman. You think he, but I don't think he's the projected number one quarterback.
No. Again, I think I would go with Bennett. And I can't remember who has the second overall pick.
I can't remember, but I don't. They're talking about what, five quarterbacks going in the first round, and not early. I don't think
maybe the first three or four
picks don't take quarterbacks, and
right.
We'll see where it goes from there. But again, congratulations to Georgia. It talks a lot about the process now. A couple years from now, we've got the playoff system in place. I think that's going to be a good thing for college football.
Should have been a long time ago.
Well,
even going back,
I think when you added, it just depends on chances of injury. If these kids are going to sit out bowl games, then we're going the wrong direction. If they're going to stay and play in these playoff games, okay. But this may end your bowl system the way it is, which is okay because we're not playing them anyway, really.
Yes. Well, it goes back to even the FCS that's done it for, gosh, how long? 30-plus years? They've had 16 teams that make their playoffs, and you play and figure out and determine who's the best.
Well, I just wonder who's next on going to complain about how much risk these kids are taking by more hits to the head, more whatever, because you got these deals like with the Bills player that went down, and then you watch Tua go down this year like he did, and it scares you a little bit about playing football and that many games and the risk these guys are taking on the field. It does bring some of the harsh stuff with football out. But, you know, I caught myself watching more football this year than I've ever watched. And I love the game. But, man, when those injuries happen like that, it just makes you think, man, you know, if I'm Tua and his family, I'm probably not ever playing again. You know, I think what the Dolphins are doing, but not trying to rush him back. Again, he couldn't pass concussion protocol today, so he's out this weekend. But why even bring him back at all? If he's going to heal up, you got to give him all winter to heal.
And, all the time he needs.
And it's a thought for him to say, okay, I'm hanging it up, because you have three concussions in one season. That's just too many. And I just don't know where his health goes past this. And, you know, hopefully these teams will weigh a person's health. We saw it in the young man's deal with the Bills where they canceled the game. It never happens in the NFL.
Hamlin, yeah.
I just thought that was the greatest thing the NFL could ever do, and I'm not sure the NFL did it as much as the coaches agreed on it. And they weren't going to play, regardless of what they were told.
And the good news is Hamlin was released from the hospital in Buffalo. Today, so,
he's
you
home.
Know, that's great.
He's
exactly.
On
yeah. So that's great. That's a great sign. I'm afraid that situations like that, including the concussions with Tua and on down the line, I'm afraid potentially that starts hurting your feeder programs.
It will.
Because now parents are like, no matter if it's a concussion or otherwise, too many chances, risk of injury, and I'm not so sure I'm putting my kid into that.
There is, and you know, the sad thing about it is it's still the most dangerous sport in high school athletics is still cheerleading. I mean, as far as traumatic injuries, it's still cheer. And I know people say, well, you're crazy. Well, no, it's a statistic.
Right.
You know, you see concussions, you see kids get hurt in football. We're seeing more and more of that where these kids got to be protected somehow, and I don't know how you do it. Now, all Tua's injury been the same one, his head whipping back against the plane surface, and I'm not sure how you fix that. Maybe you can put the neck guards on.
Whiplash, basically.
All three of his have been the same
type
of injury, so maybe you put the collars on him. Maybe, you know, it's kind of like the restraints that if Dale Earnhardt would have had on, he doesn't have his death. Maybe you find something that these guys can wear that protects them from that whip effect, and it may be too cumbersome where it wouldn't be effective. I'm not sure, but we've got to protect that injury more than probably any other, because that's probably the one that's causing more of the damages is head-to-surface contact on an unprotected. You can't stop yourself from hitting the ground like that. So,
all right.
But again.
Exciting times. You know, with NFL, the playoffs starting.
I'm excited about the playoffs. I'm glad everything is okay with Hamlin. Or at least as of now, what he's going to have to go through is probably a lot to get back. So continue prayers for him. And I think the one other NFL player that dove into something to try to save the kids is in bad shape as well. Played for the New York Giants. One of their players, keep him in your prayers. I can't remember the name right now, but keep in your prayers. What he did was, you know, a valiant effort to try to save some people. So, again, these are all things that happen, and it makes you think, okay, UK basketball is not that big of a deal if you lose a game. Other things that are out there are more prominent than that.
Yeah, at this point, obviously, there's a lot of Cal haters that are out there right now. They're going to have a big contest on the road at Tennessee on Saturday.
My prediction is a close game with Tennessee. I just say it right here. Ken doesn't think so.
Yeah, I don't feel it. I'm not feeling it with the Kentucky basketball Wildcats at this point. Yeah,
so
I'm
get
not,
over
not
and if not, just get over and support the Powell County Pirates versus the Estill County Engineers on Friday night at Estill County High School. Game time 6 and 7:30 or thereabouts.
Boys first.
And that game will be broadcast here on WSKV and the NFH Network. So we'll see you next week. For Dave and Ken, good night.
Thank you for joining.
joining us for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken right here on Pickup Country 104.9 FM. Streaming live at listenlikealocal.com or on your mobile device with the free WSKB app for Android and Apple users. Don't forget, tonight's program is available on our on-demand player at listenlikealocal.com. Powell County Sports Network would like to thank their sponsors, Whitaker Bank, Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Powell County CSEP, Mercy Health, Appalachian Wireless, Citizens Guarantee Bank, Park Regional Medical Center, Hinkle Contracting, Davis & Davis Funeral Home, Toyota South, Ace Hardware and Feed, People's Exchange Bank, Teddy Flint Attorney at Law, Whitaker Insurance Group, Protect Security and Fire Systems, and Apex Physical Therapy.
Good.